whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica! I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica.
Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I'm Jessica Young.
And we are here to rant and rave.
I wish you had a little triangle.
Well, here. I have a kalimba and a ukulele.
Oh, that's true.
Within reaching distance.
Too late now.
Oh. Jessica.
Dana.
How was your week?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything exciting?
Not terribly exciting.
Okay, good. We'll move on then. No. Just teasing.
I mean, other than starting the show Cheer, which I want you to watch.
I know. You told me I need to watch it. You know what's so funny? I was looking for corners, mm-hmm. and I came across an article I didn't tell you that was about Cheer, but it was like the hot bods of Cheer, and it was literally four windows of bodies with their heads cut off in bikinis.
I cannot.
That's all it was. I didn't click on it. I was just like, okay, whatever.
A lot of the times, too, as you well know, those pictures are not anybody that's in the article or
of
that it's about.
Not.
Just some garbage stock photos.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of photos, do you want to talk more about Cheer?
No.
Because I feel like I interrupted you,
no.
but it
I
made
promise.
Me think,
no, it's not something I need to go on a diet. I'm definitely
check
it
watch
out.
It.
It's
yeah.
six episodes. They are an hour long. It's not something I'm going to say. It's a quick
okay.
watch. It's pretty great. And yeah. if you haven't heard of it, if you have Netflix, Cheer.
It's a six-part series?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the most successful competitive collegiate cheer squad in the nation.
It's right up my alley.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch.
They're in Texas.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got sidetracked because, you know, everyone knows how much we love Celeste Barber.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Did you see her most recent post? And I know this is coming out later, so you're going to have to filter mm-hmm. through her photos. Mwah, you're going to have a good time. Did you see the one where she took a photo? She recreated a photo of a model sitting on her bathroom counter naked, putting on makeup.
With the butt crack.
Uh-huh. And then her version of it.
Yes.
Okay. So she makes me laugh anyway. But the model picture really upset me. Don't you dare. I don't care if you live alone. Do not sit with your open butthole on a bathroom or any kind of counter and leave a smoosh mark, whether it be sweaty smoosh, poopoo smoosh. That is a dirty area. You don't open up your butt cheeks and put them on a counter. You don't. You just don't. I don't care how much you need makeup. I don't care how beautiful you're going to be afterwards. Don't you dare. And then on top of it, don't post it for people to look at. Were you not mad at that picture? I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't want to see you putting butt marks on counters.
There is definitely something deeper and darker and Freudian behind your anal fixation.
I told you what show was it that I got so obsessed with? And they had like one of those after talk shows. Anyway, one of the guys on there was like, no, my mom told me we can have pets because they have open buttholes. And she wasn't going to have anything putting their open butthole on the couch.
Yeah. I thought your mom said that.
No. Oh,
hilarious.
Yeah. So that screwed me up. You know, Billy Bob Thornton gave me issues with silverware at restaurants. I just pick up everybody's flaws.
You have three animals that sit on their butts. What do you think about that?
You think I don't think about it? I'll tell you what I do. I trim Ollie's butt hair so he doesn't get poo-poo stuck in his hair and drag it all over my house. And if you're going to sleep with me, your booty better be clean.
Oh, man.
So, nice way to open the show.
Trying to picture your poor child going through potty training with you. I guess it was fine because it was on the potty.
It was
or at least
on the
you,
potty.
Hopefully.
Yeah, most of the time.
When you're lucky.
Most of the time.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
That is too much.
I kind of lost all track of thought because now it's like, what did I do this week? There was something I was going to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know what it was.
Okay.
Let's just keep on getting crazier,
yeah,
Dana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I sent, you know how all these, I look at Eventbrite and different things and look for cool things in Los Angeles that sometimes are free, sometimes aren't, but are unique experiences that I won't be able to go to because I have a child.
Oh my God.
I dream. Okay.
Oh my God.
So this week, so you know, our phones and our TVs are always listening to us. So everything that gets thrown in my face, I'm like, makes sense. This was an invitation to a vampire ball.
What?
And I sent it to my friend Kate. And I was like,
do you want to
go? My God, we have to go. Let's go meet some freaks. Because, you know, there's going to be people like us there. And then there's going to be some freaks. And then my brain went, oh, my God, this is my horror movie. I'm going to write a horror movie where it's like, no, let's go to a vampire ball. And then you get there.
And you really get bitten by a real vampire.
There's one real vampire. And he has a 150 course meal over the course of the dance party. God. A vampire ball.
Well, I hope he looks like Eric Northman and not Nosferatu.
I don't know who Eric Northman is.
Alexander Skarsgård on True Blood.
Oh, okay. I haven't I haven't worked with that Skarsgård.
Well, I auditioned to be nude in front of him for a movie, so you
Jessica!
Know. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Full, did I know?
Full
I
frontal.
Think I do remember you telling me that.
Full frontal.
Wow.
Don't worry, I didn't get it. And don't worry, if I did, I wouldn't have done it.
Okay, but even to entertain it, that's some brass hard balls.
Yeah.
Ooh. I would take Brad Pitt. Remember when he was a vampire?
Yes.
Or Antonio Banderas.
You know what? That was just on TV recently.
Interview with a Vampire?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in forever.
I have resentful feelings towards that movie. I rented it on VHS and didn't return it because I'm that person.
Uh-huh.
And then I paid $100 for VHS Interview with a Vampire.
When you could have just bought it at Target right now for $5.
Okay, Jessica.
No, I'm that person too. Do you not get it? With parking tickets and
Jessica,
late movies. And
I don't want you to think I wasn't listening to you, but for some reason, my brain just popped up Idris Elba as a vampire.
Actually, has he been one? Or I'm just confusing it with his character in Cats, where he looks and acts like one.
Another reason to go see it. So
yeah, he can bite me.
Can I take a show poll?
Yeah.
Should I go to this vampire ball?
Yeah. When is it? Halloween?
No.
Or
it's
next
like
week?
Next weekend.
Oh my God.
I really want to go see what's
going
on. Well,
my
there.
Vote is for yes.
That's my vote too.
And just maybe tuck a clove of garlic into your décolleté.
Oh, great. So I stink all night. And everybody's like, she thinks it's real.
Oh, my God.
What if I just go and I have my outfit on and then I walk past a mirror and scream and go, I can't see my reflection. Nobody wants a comedian to go to this thing.
No, they don't. Real quick aside, speaking of vampire movies, are you familiar with the 80s gem? I think it was Jim Carrey's first film. It's called Once Bitten, and he stars opposite Lauren Hutton, the supermodel.
I know the name, but I can't place
it's
the film.
It's not a good movie, but my God, did I love it when I was young.
Well, are you familiar with Nicolas Cage travesty?
What?
It's one of his craziest young movies ever, and he gets bit by a
no
vampire.
Way.
I'm making you watch. I'm going to send it to you, and I'm going to force you and Alan to watch it. It's one of the worst, best movies I've ever seen. My friend Jillian Bell made us all watch scenes from it on YouTube.
That's
once.
Hilarious.
And I unabashedly came home immediately that night at 1 a.m. and watched the whole movie.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
You know when my sisters call, one of them is Nicolas Cage on my phone and the other one is...
Nick Nolte?
No, Nosferatu. I keep winking at you.
I know, like I'm supposed to know or Edward, not answer loudly.
Edward. No. Oh my God, he played Jesus in Last Temptation of Christ.
Willem Dafoe?
Yes.
Edward? I thought you were about to say Norton.
Honestly, though, doesn't
Willem Dafoe is so good?
Doesn't Willem though look like an Edward?
He could be. Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thank you for that validation.
Have you seen his most recent film? No, The Lighthouse with Robert Pattinson?
No, everybody keeps talking about it. I think you need to see it. Yeah.
It's pretty intense. It's very good. It's black and white. It's amazing. Robert Pattinson's real good. I'm not going to lie. I totally judged.
He was in something else recently that I was like, holy smokes.
I just know him from Twilight. And I was like, I'm not on board. Wow, he's really good. Okay, take that back.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah.
And playing opposite an Oscar winning, like I'm sure Willem Dafoe is someone he's looked up to throughout his life and career. I'm like, what, he's at most 30, 32, maybe. Can you imagine, like, and the whole movie is just them. There is no one else.
He has been through the ringer.
Pattinson?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what she did to him, what's her name, Kristen? Listen, relationships are relationships, but yeah. it's harder, I think, when it's in the public eye, don't you?
And then
when you have a project that's so huge and so popular, there's inevitably going to be a horrible backlash
of
people hating you.
Yeah.
So good for you, Robert Pattinson. You get the Dana seal of approval.
Yeah.
And Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it doesn't matter to you, but you're welcome. Okay, should we go ahead and move into our rant?
Let's do it. I think you're up first this week.
You're right. I am up first this week. So my rant is this. Putting something back on the wrong shelf at the grocery store. Now, I'm going to make an addendum to that and say any store. It doesn't have to be grocery. So you're at the grocery store. You realize you just picked up the wrong kind of bread. What do you do? Jessica, what do you do?
For real, go back to where I got it and put it there.
Thank you.
Unless I'm at the register, which I then say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get this.
Correct.
And I hand it to them.
Well, unfortunately, for many of us, the answer is stick it on any nearby shelf and hope that someone finds it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So rude.
It's so rude. And I don't know if I got this, you know, I'm such a stickler for putting your cart back, all of these things, because it's just so easy.
Yes.
Now, when you are, let's pretend we're at the grocery store and you get some nuggets or some ground beef, raw chicken, and you decide for whatever reason, I don't think I want this. Mm-hmm. Then you set it down somewhere in the store. Mm-hmm. It's ruined.
Yeah.
It is ruined because they're not going to know how long it's been out of the fridge.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to sell that.
Now
right?
The box of honeycombs is tainted with salmonella.
Yes. you're not wrong. It's like, don't leave toothpaste in the toy section. Like, no. There's no need for it.
It's rude.
It's so rude. And even if it's not a
perishable,
it's still causing extra work for those workers just because you're lazy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear, well, that's what they get paid to do. No, you know what they get paid to do? Everything else you don't see them do.
Exactly.
Don't you act like you're some manager and add on to their responsibilities. The only time I have purposely not put something back was when I was getting that crossbody thing and I wanted to return it for a different color. And the guy made me mad and told me that I had to go up to the front desk and not in electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was just trying to be nice and help your inventory. I could have walked in here and swapped it and you wouldn't know. And then he said, you need to go up to the desk. And so I just walked out with the one I wanted and left the other one in vitamins. I took it to vitamins. It seems like people in vitamins have it together and they would put it back.
I had to explain that concept to my dad very recently, what you're talking about. He didn't understand why. He's like, I can just go and exchange it out. I'm like, Dad, they're not necessarily going to resell what you brought back since it was a food item.
Uh-huh.
And no, you can't. People could just walk in willy-nilly and put something down and grab another. It doesn't work that way.
It's not a trading post. I think, too, it's because I worked in retail for so long. And it would make me so mad when I'd be like, why did somebody set speakers down in the elastic pants section? I worked at Montgomery Ward.
I was just going to say, were you at a Costco? In the geriatric aisle.
Yes.
No, but the perishable thing really gets me because also when I see that, then I'm like, how many times has someone done this?
And you didn't
And then maybe
know?
I've picked up that pack of chicken. Or whatever, right? So because of these things, I always like kind of reach for the middle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to make a mess out of what they've just nicely stacked, but I'm not taking the first one facing out that's going to be the least cool of anything.
Yeah. I don't take a spray bottle of anything from the front. Yeah.
I'm going deep.
Going deep in there.
Yeah.
It's just so rude. It's the same as I said with grocery carts. If you got the energy to go to the store, you got the energy to walk back and put something down. It was I understand.
You've got the feeds.
You got the feeds. But I understand that our stores are the size of 5 football fields now.
Are you shopping at IKEA on a daily basis?
No, but
I go to a little Trader Joe's where if there's 2 people in the aisle, it's a full on traffic jam. So.
Okay, well, I go to my Target and I hate going to any other Target. And here's why. And it's shameful. It's 2 levels. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to walk as far.
No, I love it. It's really good.
But then
good.
Sometimes I'll be like, I'll park far away so I get exercise walking to the front door. Yeah. But I'm like, no, I need that double layer Target so I don't have to traverse across the city.
It's actually amazing, and I love it just so you can put your cart in that escalator. It's pretty magic.
It's pretty fun.
That's my favorite Target, and I haven't been to this one in a long time.
Well, thank you.
even though they got rid of their garden center.
I know, that upset me. It really, really did.
Me too.
Because I used to get a lot of good clearance stuff in the garden center there.
No, they had good stuff.
Yeah, now they just store grocery carts over there. It's a shame.
I don't think it hurts anyone if they put the soil back near the rhododendrons instead of the English ivy, do you?
No. Did you have a point, or did you just want to say flower names?
I'm just thinking the garden center might be the one place where you can just leave. I don't want
That's
this after
true.
All. Just
That's
set it
true.
Down.
You're right.
Somebody's going to be like, why is this succulent in with the perennials?
Now, let me ask you a question to kind of backpedal a little bit. Have you ever found and bought something because it was in the wrong place and you were like, holy cow, where's this been my whole life?
As long as it's not a food item.
Yeah,
yes.
I have too.
Like a weird toy or like kitschy thing. I'm like, what the hell? I don't know where this came from, but I'm taking it.
Yeah, the last thing I did that with was chip clips in the shape of tortilla chips. Not necessary, but I saw it.
Hilarious. And somebody gave those at the White Elephant gift exchange.
My dad needs these.
Yeah, they're hilarious. I like those.
I bought him tortilla chips and potato chips.
Oh.
Fancy.
Did you buy him potato clips?
No. Oh. What are potato clips?
Well, you said you bought tortilla clips shaped like tortillas. I wondered if they had potato clips shaped like potatoes.
I bought him tortilla clip, like chip clips shaped like tortilla chips.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we saying the same thing?
So for potato chips, I'm picturing a clip. Chips. Yeah. Shaped like a potato.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Where are we disagreeing? I don't know what's happening.
I'm a purist. I want the potato for the potato chips. I want the tortilla for the tortilla chips.
No, the tortilla chips look like triangular Doritos. Yeah. They don't look like tortillas. I spoke wrong. Okay. Oh, my God. I feel so much safer.
They're made of corn, not potatoes. I'm just going weird.
No. They are tortilla chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't those made out of corn?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
What are we disagreeing on?
Please get your dad to send a picture of him holding up his chip bag with the clips.
Okay. He's got 6 of them.
I love that picture of you from the holidays and your dad like held his chips up like as a, what do you call it? Photo bomb.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm still trying to figure out what we're arguing about.
I don't know. I actually don't know. So ridiculous.
Okay. This seems like a really great transition point to get into your rant. Ooh, but also, just one final thing, guys. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't
For
drop
real.
Stuff wherever you want to.
No, it's so rude.
So rude.
So my rant, for those of you who do follow us on social media, you may have seen it in our story. I was leaving to start my day gung-ho, footloose, and fancy-free, and I just turned the knob, you know, like you do, to open a door, and the doorknob literally fell off the door onto the floor.
If we need to recreate that, we can just go out my back door here.
So it is not the first time it's happened.
Yeah.
I'm also not a maniac. It wouldn't have been an emergency if it was like a bathroom door or something in our apartment. But this was the front door. So I immediately am like, okay, I can't leave to go to work. How am I going to get the door closed up and locked and all that? And I was extra angry because this has happened before.
And so you've told your apartment manager about
and
it.
I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but when I called him the first time it happened, he asked me what I did to the door. And I said, I don't
awesome.
I don't understand. What do you, what, I opened the door. I turned the knob. That's what I did. He goes, you know, doorknobs don't just fall out, Jessica. So
wow.
Clearly, I'm imitating him with his exact cadence and words. So, you know, this happens from some kind of vandalism. And that's when I start seeing red.
Why would you vandalize your own home?
Thank you, Dana. I wish you had been there to interject that, because that's what I asked him. But that was after I raised my voice about 10 octaves and was actually screaming at the guy.
Also, by the way,
I hate him so much.
By the way, okay, fine. I sat on it. Now get over here and fix it. It's broke, period.
The thing that kills me is, and I don't know if you can picture it, but you know, modern knobs have the knob going on either side, don't really have like a big plate around it, right? Uh-huh.
Modern knobs. I can't wait to hear what kind of knob you have.
It's like a fairly classic brass knob, but it has like a back plate, which looks like it's decorative from the front when you walk up to our door. It doesn't have one on the back, but that plate, if that becomes loose at all, that's what causes the whole inner mechanism to get loose.
So the plate doesn't contain the deadbolt?
No, it's like holding the knobs. It's so weird. I'm gonna have to show you a picture of it. Anyways, the damn knob is 40 years old. Get a bloody new doorknob.
Yeah.
Is my point. My rant in general is, yes, we don't need to be wasteful. We're a disposable society. It's not okay. There's plenty of things that require little effort to fix them.
Right.
And they're fine. Or again, they're made of solid wood or brass. It's just fine. Or you can do something to it to make it work. This is not the case. He just will not pony sometimes up for things, what? It's $15 for a doorknob. I've been to enough Home Depots in my life.
Things just need to be fixed.
Yeah, replaced.
Yes.
Not just fixed. Because they came back to fix.
No.
And the guy said, and I put some Loctite in there. Great. So he shoved glue into the stripped screws. And let's hope I don't be too forceful trying to get in my own home.
Well, the thing is, you have got to stop vandalizing your own home.
I know. I mean, I tried to use my body as one of those things that they use at a castle to bust through the door, but it just doesn't seem to be working.
No, you have to use the doorknob. One of my first apartments in LA, it was an old apartment, mm-hmm. but it was great rent controlled,
mm-hmm.
and everything in it was old and broken, and everything was mismatched. So every, what do you call these sink things?
Uh-huh.
You know, what is
the faucet candles or whatever?
They were all different.
No.
One was like black, one was metal, you know, the little knobby knob metal, and one was the clear plastic.
Yep.
And I was just like,
that's infuriating.
It's just dumb.
Yeah.
Go just buy a new faucet. This building, I know for a fact, is paid off.
Okay.
Everything we give to you is just gravy.
Profit. Exactly.
Replace the sink.
This is the other thing that drives me nuts. Like you said, there is enough things that are very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You don't have to go get the newest Kohler or Moët faucets that you see in Architectural Digest.
Sure.
Okay. You can get a decent thing at any hardware store.
Yes.
It's the lack of care, number one. Also, trying to save a buck. Every time the guys come out and they're shaking their heads and they even apologize to me, and I can't be mad at the workmen. They're at, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? They have to do what he says.
Yes.
I'm not hiring them independently, right?
Right.
They all say, I'm so sorry, lady. We told him you need a new toilet. We told him the roof needs to be replaced. We told him that. So you think you're saving, but how many times have you sent people out over the years to fix the same broken ancient thing
mm-hmm.
instead of just buying a new one?
Yep. We also had the issue where we had the old wall unit air conditioners.
Oh, God, yes.
The brown ones, and they're loud, and they take a lot of energy and whatever. But I'll tell you what, that thing cooled down the apartment like lightning, okay?
Yep.
So then they come in and they're like, no, we want to replace it with an energy efficient, blah, blah. That thing blew hot breath on us constantly.
I know.
And I was so mad because it may have looked better. It was a piece of crap.
Uh-huh.
But they saved money doing that. But also they were like, save energy. I'm like, you don't care about saving energy and you don't pay my utilities anyway.
Exactly,
so get off it.
Exactly. They, I guarantee you, probably got some kind of kickback from the city for going to energy.
Yeah. But get a nice one that's not going to blow hot breath at me.
Okay.
I mean, it would literally make me go, ugh. I felt like somebody was breathing on me.
We had one of those really, I know the exact model and kind you're talking about. It was amazing. If you were laying on my carpet.
Ugh.
They installed it at floor level, Dana.
No.
And as we all know, hot air rises.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not kidding you. If you were sitting on my couch, your feet would be damn near freezing. The rest of you would be covered in sweat.
Dripping sweat.
Because it was 105 degrees in the summer.
Yes, that's a nightmare.
It was literally at floor level.
That's so dumb.
It is. You have to put that up high and let it fall.
Ugh.
I'm really angry and I really need to cleanse that.
Okay, let's get to it. You've had a lot of apartment issues lately.
I have.
I understand
it's why because I'm in rent control and I love my neighborhood, so I'm holding on for dear life.
I know, but let's get a doorknob. It seems like an essential. Okay, if you're by yourself, feel free to scream it out. We're going to do a cleansing breath. We're going to get all of this stuff we've ranted about and all of these thoughts and feelings that come out between our teeth. We're going to take a deep cleansing breath in and blow all that out so we can fill up with goodness. Deep breath in. Jessica, are you yawning?
Clearly, I needed to cool my brain.
Should we start again since I made you laugh in the middle?
Okay.
You needed to cool your brain down. Okay, ready? Deep breath in.
What if I did that and I yawned? I was like, yeah. And the next thing you know, I'm just
You're just asleep on my floor.
Full on narcoleptic, passed out, drooling.
I would be like, just let her sleep. She's such an angel when she's sleeping.
Take me to a yoga class and you'll hear me snore.
Seriously?
I pass out every single time.
I one time snored at the dentist. I was really sleep deprived and I fell asleep at the dentist.
That's okay, I'm sure, until they're like, Dana, I need you to open your mouth.
Open, yeah. Open. So they have to say open to me two or three times sometimes.
I'm a mouth breather, so they don't have to worry about that with me. It's always open, literally 24 hours a day.
Oh my God.
Sounds really filthy.
Okay, so should we go? Here's my.
Do our corners.
How is that transition? You guys, it's a serious problem.
Corny corners.
If you would like to write transition monologues for me, feel free to send. I'll read it. I really will.
Bing, bing, bong.
Okay, so moving into corners. This corner, what did I call it? Oh my God! Is what I called this corner. Ready for this? Cat goes crazy, keeps owner captive in the kitchen for two whole days. I can't.
No.
Yes, this is from Oddity Central.
Captive? That's a hostage situation.
That's a hostage situation, and I believe a cat could do it. A Russian woman was allegedly unable to leave her kitchen for 2 days after her pet cat started behaving aggressively and tried to attack her whenever she tried to exit the room. I feel you, lady. I have a cutter. This is the kind of news story that sounds so crazy it has to be fake. At least that's what I thought when I first read the title. But then I noticed it had originally been reported on an official website of the rescue service in Russian city of Arkhangelsk, which actually rescued the woman from her own home. On Sunday, January 19th, this isn't like days of yore. This was January 19th. A local resident noticed a woman signaling for help in the window of a third floor apartment.
What?
After catching the attention of a passerby, the woman explained that her cat had started acting crazy 2 days before and would try to attack her whenever she tried to leave the kitchen. Sick of waiting for the feline to calm down, she finally decided to ask for help. 2 days she was stuck in there with that cat.
And what did she do? Pee in the sink?
I mean, probably, Jessica. What do you expect her to do? Pee her pants?
I'm sorry. I mean, they're... Okay. I'm still trying to figure out what did she do. Just sit there and then it was calm? Because cats can climb and jump on anything.
Yeah, but also, why did no one check on her for 2 days?
I mean...
Did she not have a phone?
I don't know.
Maybe not in the kitchen.
Can you imagine if you didn't? Well, if she had her phone, I would hope she called someone.
Yes. She must not have had it with her. But like, how?
What's the worst damage? Like, I know a cat can do damage.
Well,
I
mean,
I don't
want to
say that. I know someone who got cat scratch fever, so I think
yeah,
I know the
my
answer.
Mom got cat scratch she fever. Did? Yeah, it was really dangerous because she's
no
got medical
joke.
Stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
That is no joke.
Not a joke. It was could have been deadly. Yeah, but if you think about it, imagine Ollie. Mm-hmm. Ollie is my cat who is 150 pounds and 6 feet tall. He's giant. He's part Maine Coon. That cat, when he, you know how he love bites mm-hmm. to let you know that you're his now? Mm-hmm. It hurts, Jessica.
Yeah.
He's strong.
Yeah.
I feel like
the scratching.
He could. And the biting and his strength is unbelievable.
That's true.
Remember, did
I actually?
Ever tell
I've
you,
watched him push a few things as though he works for a moving company.
He has broken. He has broken trash cans to get mm-hmm, inside, mm-hmm, thinking his food is mm-hmm. in there. He's massive.
Yeah,
he could murder us both. I think so. And then also maybe the cat was hungry and was like, die, woman. I'm going to eat you. Because, you know, they say cats will eat you.
I'm going to throw. Oh.
I'm sorry, but here's what I have to say. Unless you're my evil cat cutter, any of my other cats in the history of my life, if I died and they were hungry, I want them to eat me.
Okay.
I love them. They need helps.
Hello. yes, I have an emergency. I can't say they're right here.
What am I going to do with that dead corpse?
Oh my God.
I'm already on my way to heaven. You chow down, kitty cat.
Unreal and so horrifying.
Well, horrifying?
I definitely will not be coming with the forensic team when that day comes.
Is it horrifying or is it selfless love?
Sounds like a real catastrophe.
Stop it. Stop it. Do you know how I always know when you're going to say something that you know is going to annoy me?
The twinkle in my eye?
Yes. You lean towards the microphone. You raise one eyebrow. You half-heartedly start to wink. And then your eyes get huge and you say it. Shame on you. Catastrophe. Jessica?
Dana?
If we were on a mountain together, uh-huh. because we're definitely outdoorsy climber types,
uh-huh.
and I died,
uh-huh.
I want you to eat me to survive.
Are we in a cold climate?
Yes.
Okay, well then I might consider it.
Yeah, I'll be like, sushi, Dana sushi.
Mm-hmm. Cold climate, fine. Bacteria yeah. grows in hot environments. So uh-huh. for somewhere tropical with a giant mountain in the middle of
you
nowhere.
Can cook me?
Like if we're in Hawaii, it's just not going to happen.
You can cook me.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably go well with a nice Polynesian sweet and sour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're getting into recipes, is there anything you'd like to say back to me? Is there any appropriate response you'd like to say back to me about maybe how...
You're the one that let the cat out of the bag.
Stop it! Perhaps about how, like, same Dana, same Z's. About, like...
If you want me to say you can do that, I'm too scared because I feel like I might taste bitter.
What?
I think you would probably taste sweet, and I feel like I would be bitter.
Why on earth would you
like a piece
this?
Of fennel or something.
Ew! This is the most ridiculous conversation I think we've ever had, and I'm still mad that you won't tell me I can eat you.
I just said you could.
But then you warned me off and said you would taste like fennel.
You don't like those kinds of tastes, so I think you might be very disappointed and angry. You'd be angrier at the way I tasted than angrier than I passed. So, you know, there's that.
But what about my own survival?
I mean, I'm worried about that. But you're gonna
not
have
enough.
To, you're gonna
clearly.
Have to start liking some vegan foods since I've become more and more vegan as the days go on.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. It might taste like curried cauliflower, which you already told me you did not have any interest in my
no,
recipe.
No, I feel like you're just picking out things I don't like so I won't eat you. I'm very offended.
Oh my God.
What corner did you bring today?
God, now I'm thinking about that plane that went down. Wasn't it in Chile with a soccer team?
Yes,
the movie made
Alive
of it?
Was yeah, the name yeah, of the yeah. movie. Mm-hmm. I went and saw that in the movie theater.
It's a real doozer.
It was, yeah.
Well, this sounds like something that I definitely would do.
Okay.
You might as well, but I'm a guarantee for this.
Okay.
A 20-year-old woman in India filed for divorce from her husband this week, claiming that he stank so bad because he only bathed once every 10 days.
10 days.
Not only do I approve of this break in marriage, this full break, this woman should be paid double what she normally would have been in alimony. Okay. Soni Devi, a woman from Bihar's Vaishali district, filed an application for divorce from her husband on grounds he did not maintain proper hygiene and did not have any manners. She argued that being married to her husband, a 23-year-old plumber, had been a humiliation and had ruined her life. Well, now it sounds like you're a snob.
In what side are you on, Jessica?
I'm really wavering. In her official divorce application, the 20-year-old woman wrote that her husband hardly ever bathed or brushed his teeth and didn't follow any social etiquette rules. She asked the court to be rid of her husband. Okay.
Yeah, she wants to be rid of
him. If you're ashamed that you married a plumber, you're the fool because they can make a damn good living.
Yes, they do. But
in all seriousness, and I think this every time I've been around a plumber, and I've been around many over the years through work and through my apartment.
Okay, bragger.
They best be taking a silkwood shower.
Yes.
The second they come in. And I mean second they come in, you would not be allowed to walk into our house wearing your shoes.
No, they don't just fix kitchen water sinks.
They snake toilets.
That's right.
They get in crawl space.
But
I can't. So we have that as first and foremost. Hygiene should be extra, extra when you're in a profession like that. But the not brushing teeth, I am sorry. I can't even look at my husband first thing in the morning until he's brushed his teeth. No. That goes for anyone, by the way. I'm not being mean to my man. I don't want to smell my own breath when I wake up. Stop it.
No.
First thing I do when I go to the bath, when I wake up, literally go to the bathroom and then wash my hands and then brush my teeth. In that order.
Yeah. You have to be aware of hygiene. I don't care who you are. I had a friend. So I have a large set of tatas. As do you. You might be able to relate. So this other friend had a large set of tatas and she decided she wanted a reduction. It was just too much. Mm-hmm. But her final statement to me on it was, I'm sorry, but it smells like cottage cheese down there and I am tired of it. And I said, whoa, 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 you gotta clean under there. Are you, she was a clean person. And I'm like, you don't lift each boobie when you shower?
For real.
And then I also use, you know, my magic vagina cream for my face. I will use that under my boobie if it's hot under outside. Because I'm sorry, it's sweat.
Yes.
It's skin. It's a body part.
Yes.
The same way you sweat under your pits, I sweat under my boobie. Yes. Okay? So it just has to be dealt with.
My God.
If it's gotten to the level where you legit think your cleavage smells like cottage cheese,
I will throw up in her mouth. I mean, really.
Ugh. I mean, the body is capable of making some yuck, yuck smells.
Yes.
And that's why we have to shower.
Yes. And we are not in the Baroque era.
No. And listen, I'm not saying I'm always the best at it. I've definitely gone like a solid 3-4 days without showering
before. You didn't go 10.
No, not 10. And I was also probably depressed and didn't leave the house.
Yes,
so.
yes. Oh my God. No, that's putrid. And I'm sorry. There's nothing worse than a ripe body odor.
When you go to an amusement park and it's hot outside.
Subways, forget it.
Just stink.
I will never, ever, ever forget when the Braves won the National Series title for the first time ever in like the early 90s. They shut all the schools down. There was a parade, all this. So everybody was like, don't try to drive into the city. We'll take the subway because we have a good subway system in Atlanta. We were about halfway there. It was way past any time when you thought a subway was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a problem and many of the cars, I was in one of them, got stuck on the tracks for hours. There's no ventilation.
Yeah.
There's no way to pop a window.
Just a hot box.
It was on tracks above ground. Like you could not
get
off. Because a lot of MARTA in Atlanta is above ground as opposed to subterranean, right? And to this day, that smell is burned into my nose and my brain, and I will never forget it. The smell of body odor from hundreds of people in each car pressed together and sweating.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's making me gag. My goodness. Oh, God. We're going to have to get the puke bowl if we keep going.
So I hope that her divorce was granted.
Yeah. I thought you were just saying her divorce was grand. I'm like, I'm sure it was. And honestly, that is grounds for divorce, for real.
Yes.
You're sharing a bed with this person, a home with this person. No way. Unacceptable.
Nope.
Don't you be stinking.
I know.
Ooh.
So grody.
Divorce
town.
Granted. Chung, chung.
Dana, thank you for sharing this important knowledge of world news.
You're so welcome.
We're going to take it on into raves.
Why? You don't want to stay in this stink fest for the rest of the hour? Well, I think I'm up first for raves.
Yes.
So this week I'm going to rave about an organization. You can find them on their website at Kaboom, KABOOM.org. Kaboom, building playgrounds for kids. The well-being of our community starts with the well-being of our kids. Kaboom works to ensure all kids get the play they need to thrive. This is interesting to me. There is a play deficit in America. Only 1 in 4 kids in the U.S. are getting the recommended daily amount of physical activity. That means in a class of 20 students, only 5 are truly able to be a kid for just 1 hour each day. Children are not playing at home. And they are not playing in their communities, which we talked about in the green room dump. We used to go home and go straight outside.
You threw your book bag in and that was it. Yeah. You had to be called home to dinner or you knew you better be home once it was dark.
And on the weekends, you were out playing in the hose. And if you got thirsty, you just drank from it.
Okay.
Yeah. Play is an equity issue, too. For the 14 million kids living in poverty, play is too hard to come by as their families face many obstacles to play, from a lack of safe places, under-resourced schools that cut recess and physical education, and too much screen time. The Kaboom approach is we create safe community-built play spaces. As of the end of 2018, Kaboom directly built over 3,100 playgrounds.
Wow.
Combined with our other grants over our 20-plus year history, Kaboom has built or improved over 17,000 play spaces. Our unique bottle called Build It with Kaboom pairs funding partners with under-resourced communities who come together to build safe playgrounds in just one day.
Wow.
Right? Resulting in kids feeling valued. Our community-built playgrounds generate a tangible, achievable win for communities too, familiar with broken promises, too much talk, and little if any action. Mm-hmm. So you can apply. You can even apply for playground grants for yourself. There's a link on the website.
That's so cool.
Here, kaboom.org again. We believe kids of all ages need to play. This is really interesting too. I know I'm going on and on, but I read some of this and I loved it. Communities recognize that older kids are growing up faster and often with no safe places to play and connect with their peers. You know, we used to go to the mall.
Yep.
It's not safe anymore. Adventure courses and multi-sport courts reignite the spark of youth by providing a well-rounded range of desirable play options from traditional sports to obstacle courses.
That's cool.
They engage, inspire, and support this often difficult to reach age group, ensuring kids of all ages get to play. That is so important. I think that's something that's been an issue since we were kids and probably beyond before that. There's not a good place for teenagers to go and hang out together in a safe space where they're not going to be getting in trouble and they can engage one another together. I don't know. I just think that's a wonderful idea. Older kids face challenges that can hinder their ability to play during their last few years before adulthood. Our new play spaces reignite the spark of youth for older kids. They have a range of innovative, challenging activities and leadership opportunities to engage this often difficult to reach age group. So you can look at their website. They're really like getting innovative with their everyday spaces to create safe play spaces. It's really cool. There's tons of pictures and they will work with your city to transform these spaces like sidewalks, bus stops, vacant lots into great places for kids to play. Through our Play Everywhere initiatives and grant programs, we're eliminated the behavioral barriers to play with low-cost mobile and, most importantly, fun play opportunities. You guys check them out, kaboom.org. I mean, cities are definitely looking for advice and assistance and leadership to know how to make these environments for kids to hang out in and have active play, because we are such a technology-based. I mean, I have a gamer. My kid, he's super great at it. And I'm like, awesome, maybe you'll get a job in Right. We won't have to worry about anything. But at the same time, he doesn't go outside. And we had a swing set out there we finally threw away because he never played on it. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't go out. And other kids don't. There's children behind me that have a trampoline and they do get out there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the norm for most kids today.
No, totally. We had an amazing big playground outside of my neighborhood in my hometown called the Chattahoochee Nature Center, which was along the Chattahoochee River. And it was huge. And it was big enough that, like, actually, some of the things were not meant for small kids. Mm-hmm. It was, like, too big to climb. They were made out of, like, huge logs. It looked like a gigantic Lincoln Log set made for adults almost. But it also had little kitty stuff, right? Like it had the little animals on a giant spring that rocked back and forth, and that thing that you would sit on and somebody would run pushing it and then jump onto and you'd spin around.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
But I don't see a ton of playgrounds.
No, not a ton. And the ones that are overcrowded a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And there are also a lot all across the United States, even here. Where
creeps lingering around.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to say that. That's a given. But there's a lot of underserved communities where their playgrounds are not safe.
Or they're so old and rusted. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So, and I think about when I was in college, the building that my theater department was in, we had this great big concrete courtyard that we would all gather in.
Hmm.
And I'm like, there should be a space like that for teenagers. I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking. And they'd be like, okay, old lady, we don't want to go gather in a park on a concrete slab and talk about our pimples. But the options need to be there. Mm-hmm. So kaboom.org, check them out. If you are in a community that needs help or resources or your city needs advice, they, like I said, they do grant programs. They'll assist and advise and help with leadership roles in your community, whatever. Check them out.
Also, I love it when there's enough volunteers, like in the case of the first one you talked about, they got it done in a day.
One day.
Like if 100 people show up instead of 5 people.
Right.
Then it's that's remarkable.
And could you do like get 100 people to come help, put up one in, you know, half the time and then do a company move the next day on a Friday and Saturday? How many parks can you upgrade or fix or make?
My friend did that recently for school. I feel like we talked about it on a past episode. They have like service day at the company that she works for, and they all went out to volunteer. We did talk about it at like a Culver City school or something.
Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember.
And
that.
Did like a major overhaul in one day because so many people turned out to help. It was really so fantastic. Cool.
Yeah. And when you're doing that, you're investing in your community and your community's future.
That's right.
So I love that.
I do too. Thank you. Mm-hmm. My rave is an organization called thehumanleague.org. Our mission, we exist to end the abuse of animals raised for food.
Yes.
What began as a tiny grassroots organization in 2005, protesting foie gras on bitterly cold nights at local restaurants in Philadelphia, has since grown into an effective and global nonprofit organization. One thing has stayed the same. We are and always have been for the animals. We started by focusing on institutional change, holding companies to account. In partnership with activists across the Northeast, we ran dozens of campaigns from Baltimore to Boston, winning cage-free commitments at every stop.
Mm.
Restaurant by restaurant and campus by campus, working our way up to the biggest national corporations. 10 million plus chickens are now free to spread their wings each year beyond the confines of battery cages, thanks to our cage-free wins.
Wow.
Nuts. Over the years, we've taken on the world's largest food companies and won, ending the worst abuses of innocent animals who live painful lives, suffering from extreme overgrowth, crippling injuries, and frightening deaths.
Mm-hmm.
General Mills, PepsiCo, Grupo Bimbo, Starbucks, Subway, Burger King, Chipotle, Pret a Manger, and the world's biggest institutional food providers, Sodexo, Aramark, and Compass, have all enacted animal welfare policies thanks to your tireless activism and campaigning.
That's pretty amazing.
20% of hens in the U.S. are now cage-free, double that of just 3 years ago.
20% is double?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know my meat guilt.
Totally.
Continues.
And again, you guys, we really try to stay away from
political,
religion and politics. Yeah. I mean, of course, we touch on both a bit and when it is. And sometimes it's serious. Sometimes it's tongue in cheek. But I will say this, and I don't feel bad. I'm not trying to preach to anyone. Everyone, whether you are a meat eater or not, should be concerned with where things are coming from, mm-hmm. how they are made. I hate using that word, but mm-hmm. how they are made, grown, raised, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite, and I'm not trying to talk about things that I don't do. I still eat meat, but like I said, a long time ago, I gave up eating from specific major corporations where they don't have these kind of standards and practices. Mm-hmm. I refuse to eat quite a few and most national brands. If I'm going to eat something, it's going to be an organic, free-range chicken, or it's going to be a kosher one. And mm-hmm. that's not for religious reasons. That's because of the way it is, I hate to say it, slaughtered, right? Mm-hmm. And it's to be very humane, and there has to be certain cleanliness practices in the raising of and up until the time of the animal being slaughtered for food. So just trying to be more mindful with this kind of stuff. It comes up in the news all the time for our health, for mm-hmm. our environment, for our planet. So check out thehumanleague.org. They are doing amazing things literally around the world. And again, starting to have an impact. I mean, yeah, we're like 20%, but 20% out of the 100%, they're at least putting a dent.
Yep.
Into a very big thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So we are all about farmers and supporting that. Please don't ever think we are not. We're 100% in favor and have the utmost respect for people doing that. I have zero respect for people torturing animals under any circumstance.
Yes. So, same. And just to tag on to that, it's a lot easier these days. I know it's expensive to make these mm-hmm. choices. It's getting better. The right. disparity is not quite as big.
Yes.
And we also have a lot of options now for mm-hmm. non-animal tested products in our yes. homes. So let's just try to be mindful, I guess.
And support your local peeps.
Yep, local stores, local farmers. You can get a lot healthier
stuff oftentimes locally when it's not a giant mass-produced Foster Farms that's exactly. going to be in every grocery store in the country.
Mm-hmm. And you're supporting your community yeah. and building and bringing income and revenue totally. Into your town.
Yep.
And yeah, the humane issue is a big one too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Jessica, for bringing that.
Oh, thank you.
Still trying to not eat meat. it's dwindling. It's dwindling. Okay. Anyway, am I telling people how to get a hold of us? Or are you?
Yeah,
it's me.
It's you.
All right. Here we go, guys. I'm going to try it without my paper again.
Okay.
We've only been in existence for a year, which this is what, episode 52? We totally.
Episode 50, right? No, this is episode 52. Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we just blew by our 50th episode.
We did.
So happy 50th.
Yeah.
So I guess, wait, Jessica.
That's a year of episodes. This is our year mark, the 52nd episode.
Oh.
One episode a week.
Yeah. Well, Jessica.
Pretty crazy, Dana.
I think that's our show.
I think it is.
And by that, I mean the end of it. Goodbye. I signed up for a year and I'm done.
Yep.
No.
We had our fun.
We had our fun. We made our memories. We cackled our way into your lives and now we're done. No. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Rants and Raves Podcast. You can email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on our website, therantsandravespodcast.com. There's a contact us button there. We have to stop talking today.
We do.
I feel like we have to make a rule that we are mute the rest of the day.
You also forgot about Twitter, which is fine because remember how much I know. Neither of us use it.
At raves underscore the.
Yeah.
Sorry. I tried my best.
Just go on Instagram. Okay, and just find us there.
Just find us. Please rate, review, subscribe. You know what, guys? I'm going to be vulnerable with you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Our listens have been down a little. Mm-hmm. So share us with friends, guys. We got to keep doing this. There's got to be people that are willing to listen to us somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe in Indonesia.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, crocodile with a tire around its neck.
Oh, was that an Indonesian? So each week I like to end with a weekly point to ponder. Sometimes it's just something fun. Sometimes it's something to think about. I will say I've been doing a little research. I actually did Google great conversation starters. Mm. One of these days, I'm going to read you that list. And then you guys are going to appreciate my conversation starters. So for this week, what I brought was, it's more just like, I guess, a fact. Okay. But this is a good conversation starter. Mm-hmm. Did you know, Jessica, that penguins, adorable, right?
Yeah.
Used to be 6 feet tall.
What?
Those tiny tuxedo birds we know and love today used to be the size of a high school linebacker. According to a report published in Nature Communications, there's evidence that the extinct Cumanobiaceae penguins, I don't know, once stood close to 6 feet tall and weighed more than 200 pounds. You're welcome. Go find a boyfriend with that fact.
Hey, penguins mate for life.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, you just tied it up into a pretty little bow.
It's true.
It is true. I know. I love it. All right, guys. We'll be back here again next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.